So, you know, welcome to our faith and freedom service that we're having this Sunday. And I'm going to have different ones that are going to come up. Gina will come up in just a minute. And Anna, if you'll follow Gina at that time, that they're going to do some readings that they're going to have. Then I'm going to have Beatrice come up, and then I'm going to come up. So we may get out of here about 3, maybe. I don't know. Oh, boy. Well, I didn't get a reaction out of you. I don't know if that was okay or you're just not listening. I'm not sure which one. But anyway, praise God. So we don't want to glorify the name of Jesus. But, I mean, you can see that I'm dressed a little bit different today, right? And this is I did this in honor of my father-in-law, okay, John Yuma, Beatrice's daddy, and this was his. It belonged to him. He was a proud African man, proud Ugandan, in East Africa, and a Ringa tribe. Say it again. Maracha tribe. I was on the equator there on Lake Victoria, and I went into a shop because there's a lot of tourism there. And I was talking to the lady, and I didn't have this on. But anyway, so we were talking. I said, well, I'm down here from Arua. You know, so I think she thought I was from Arua. So she says to me, she says, well, what tribe do you belong to, you know? So at that time, I thought, well, I better learn, you know. I better learn what tribe I belong to. But anyway, you know, I wore this in honor of him. You know, this was his, you know. And this is an African handmade, you know, ceremonial, shirt. And so why am I doing that? He passed away on July the 2nd, 2020. You know, I am honoring him today because he loved America. Oh, he loved America. You know, he was a member of parliament. He was a politician and all of that in Uganda. He was a very successful man. You know, he was educated in England and such. But he loved America. He loved America. You know, we had the signing of the 13 colonies was signed the Declaration of Independence on July the 2nd. Okay, and then it was ratified, formally ratified, on July the 4th. People like John Adams thought that it should have been celebrated on July the 2nd, you know, but anyway, it became July the 4th. Well, he passed away on July the 2nd in 2020. I thought that was very interesting. But he loved America, and see, he appreciated America's freedoms many ways, and a lot of the Americans didn't appreciate. He went through Idi Amin. I don't know, study your history, you'll find out about Idi Amin. He's the butcher of Africa, and, sought to have John killed on various things, and, what they went through, and they're ruled by a dictator right now, and so they don't have the freedoms that we have, you know, that sometimes I think that we take for granted. But so, anyway, so I'm just simply wearing this to honor his memory today. Here, he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. He loved going to church. He really did. He loved going to church. He loved the Lord, you know, and God had done a wonderful and great life, work in his life. So, anyway, that's why I'm doing this. Praise his name. Praise his name. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, so anyway, Anna or Gina, please, you come right now. Would you please? Yeah. I may have to have your help. I can never do it right. Right? Is it? Just that button right there, right? Oh, wait a minute. I never get it right. Thank you.
Secretary of State Daniel Webster stated at a bicentennial celebration of the landing of the Pilgrims at Plymouth Rock, December 27.
of our origin. Our fathers were brought hither by their high veneration for the Christian religion. They journeyed by its light and labored in its hope. They sought to incorporate its principles with the elements of their society and to diffuse its influence through all their institutions, civil, political, and literary. Let us cherish these sentiments that this is the happiest society which partakes in the highest degree of the mild and peaceful spirit of Christianity. Senate Chaplain Peter Marshall opened the 80th Congress July 3, 1947. Let us as a nation not be afraid of standing alone for the rights of men, since we were born in that way as the only nation on earth that came into being for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Poet Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, April 1862, America is another word for opportunity. Our whole history appears like a last effort of the divine providence in behalf of the human nature.
From the War of 1812. During the War of 1812, a significant event known as the Miracle in Washington took place, which involved a severe storm. This storm is credited with extinguishing fires and causing significant casualties among the British troops. The storm that saved Washington occurred on August the 24th, 1814, during the War of 1812. A powerful tornado disrupted British forces who were in the process of burning the city, saved the U.S. Capitol and the White House from destruction. The storm included heavy rain and strong winds, described by some as a tornado. The heavy rains from the storm played a crucial role in extinguishing the fires set by the British, preventing further destruction. Tornadoes are rare in Washington, D.C., making the storm's impact on the British forces even more significant. According to the National Constitution Center, the storm forced the British troops to abandon their destructive efforts and retreat to their ships. This storm is considered a pivotal moment in the War of 1812.
And now I'm going to have Beatrice to come. And there you are. I couldn't find you. If you would come on. And Beatrice, I thought it would be very nice that you could hear from somebody. I think most of us here were born citizens of the United States. Now, Beatrice became a citizen of the United States. And I think it would be nice maybe that you could hear from her perspective. And then she's going to read some scriptures, and we're going to all pray for America.
What an amazing nation the United States of America is. Just to begin, I was born and raised in Uganda until I was 38. 39 was when I... No, I take it back, 36, because I came in here in 06. So life in Uganda and politics, or generally everything there, is completely different from what it is here. When I came to the United States of America, I was like taken aback by so many things that were happening here, things that were not happening in Uganda at all. One particular thing that I would like to talk about is love of country, patriotism. I thought that was so special. How, you know, just the flag of the American flag itself alone raised up, everybody just loved it. And, you know, they're just so excited about the flag of America, about the country itself. And when the national anthem is sung, I would always be watching, you know, and you see people are tearing, people are crying. And I was like, that is different. In Uganda, you sing the national anthem, it's just a song. The flag is just a flag. Nobody took it so close to their heart like what I saw here. And then one other thing that also was so special that when I came to the United States was the National Day of Thanksgiving. I was like, Thanksgiving? Giving a day for prayer, thanking God for America, for the things he has done here. Friends, we should not take this nation for granted at all. Because when you go to other countries, people don't see the value of things that are here. You know, the freedom of worship, the freedom of speech, freedom that is here is not found anywhere else. I don't know about other countries, but I'm talking about Uganda. You don't find this kind of freedom in Uganda. People don't hold the nation dearly to their hearts. And then now, coming to learn about America, how it was started, the foundation was laid on prayer. Things that their forefathers did during their times. How did I know that? Because when I was becoming a citizen, I had to go through, study the history of America and study a few things. They gave us 100 questions that you had to know off of your head, the top of your head. Because out of the 100 questions, I mean, it all talked about the history of the country and how, you know, the forefathers fought this and who wrote the Constitution, who did what, all those questions. But anyways, basically, I learned that the foundation of this nation was laid on Christianity. Prayer was a key thing. Looking at every the writings of the past, you find scripture quoted everywhere. Your previous leaders are quoting scriptures. I mean, it's like, this is different. This is special. Something special has been deposited as to do with America. And therefore, we should never, ever, ever take it for granted what nature of country has been given to us, what country this is. So like I said, when I came, I was a green card holder, but I needed more. I was like, I gotta become a citizen. This is special. I want to be part of this. Of course, obviously, my husband is an American, so I was like, I wanted to be so bad, part of him and part of the country itself, so that I could experience the freedoms, the right to vote, freedoms of speech. You know, when on the day when I got my citizenship, as he said, on August the 20th, 2020, I don't know if you mentioned that, that was when I got my citizenship. But as I went, before I got that, I kept going to Louvre. That's where their headquarters were, where we had to do immigration questioning and all that. So I was sitting in front of this interviewer. Alone, you had to have known how to speak English. You had to know how to write English. You had to know the history of America. You had to answer the questions. They picked the questions at random. Out of those 100 questions, questions were picked at random. So that means you had to have it in your head. What question they're going to ask you, and you have to have the answer. So it's not just like you walk in a country and you're there, you're a citizen. No, I went through the preparation of becoming a citizen. And when I read all those things, I loved every bit of it. I was so excited about everything I learned about America. So when that day of my becoming a citizen came, I was the happiest person on earth. And raising that flag after we had sang the national anthem and just like rejoicing, I was just like from cheek to cheek with big smiles. It made me sit back and look. Now, with what is happening today in the nation, many young people don't see the value of being American. It is a very, 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 very good thing that you don't find anywhere else. I wish that our children, the younger people, could know what it took for the older people, our forefathers, to make this country what it is. I wish they could see that. But we who are here, we who are older, it is our responsibility to let them know how far we have come, how far this country has come, what we have gone through, the things that the forefathers endured, what they had to suffer, what they had to do, even giving up their own lives for the sake of the peace and the joy and everything that we're enjoying today. I want to go back to one song that we sang, America, America. God shed his grace on thee. The grace of God has been upon this land in a big way. My cry, my prayer from the deepest part of my heart is that while we have the grace of God upon us, let us not throw it away. Let us hold on to it. Let us be strong and let the children grow knowing we are a different nation. God's grace is upon this land. God has used America to reach many nations. My coming to the United States is a part of a ministry from the United States, going to my little city in Africa, going to minister there. And it's through them that I came here. I know it was a divine connection, divine appointment by God that I should be here. But it was something initiated by the faith of the people here, the Christian, the ministry, the missionary work that was taken into those remote ends. So God has used America in many ways to reach out many nations, to reach out many people who would otherwise not have an opportunity to know about Jesus Christ. I'm going to read some scriptures just to back up that. I'm reading from the book of Psalms 33, beginning with verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven and sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashioned the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works, the king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. God's grace is upon us. God has chosen us because at the beginning, the foundation was laid on him. Blessed is the nation whose hope is in the Lord. May we never lose that which was started for us from the beginning. Because if we lose that, it's going to be a terrible, terrible place to live in. As in my years, as I have been here in the United States, I have seen different presidents. I have seen different administrations. I have seen things change so very fast to a point that it is even scary at some points, at some moments. May we never, ever, ever forget that which was done for us at the beginning. I'm going to read yet another scripture, and that's going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. And I will read verse 12, 14, 27, and 34. Verse 12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." 14. "The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his." 27. "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That one may avoid the snares of death." And then verse 34. "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." It's so easy to divert from what was good to bad. When we do not hold that which we have been given so dearly to our heart, we can tend to lose it. We need to stand as the people who fear the Lord, who want God to be everything in this nation, who want God to be in charge of our children, who want God to reign over everything. We need to have that heart to hold firm, to hold fast to the things that have been given to us. The grace of God that is released upon this land. If those people, our forefathers, did not lay that kind of foundation, it would not be easy. Nations elsewhere have their own kind of things. I want to give you an example. In Uganda, I'm just going to give you one stanza of our national anthem, the national anthem of Uganda. It says, "O Uganda, may God uphold you. We lay our future in thy hands. United, free, for liberty, together we'll always sing." It's a song. Beautiful words. You don't see that freedom there because it's not there. Because we have dictators. We have other people. There's no freedom of speech. You speak against the government, you are in jail, or you will never see life anymore. That's not here. That's not here in the United States. Let us hold dear to the freedom we have. Let us cherish it. Let us embrace it. Let us spread it. Let us teach our younger ones to learn to love this country, to know where we started, to know the God who has given his grace upon this land. May God bless us as we trust him. And I'm going to pray. Father God Almighty, I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you adoration. I thank you for making me a part of this wonderful nation. Father, my cry, my prayer is that you cause our eyes to be fixed on you, that we will not lose that which we have received because of your grace, that which the forefathers fought for, bled for, died for, They put their faith in you. The words they spoke was with you backing. Father, may we today remember that this is not just a man nation. It is a nation whose foundation you laid yourself. May our eyes be focused on you, Father God. May our hearts turn to you every minute. May we call upon you concerning everything that has to do with us, with our children. May we call unto you concerning our leaders, because you've called us to pray for our leaders, that we may live in peace and tranquility. Father, I know that there may be things that are done by different leaders that are not to your way. Father, you have called us to pray for them to turn their hearts to you, to seek you. We pray for our president, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to give him wisdom. We ask you, Lord God, to give him guidance, direction, counsel. Show him which way to go, what to do, that his ears may be attentive to what you will be speaking to him through different people, that he may not do what is only his own ambition. Father, we pray for all the other leaders of this nation, that Lord God Almighty, you will use them to bring glory to your name, that we may stand as a people who know you, who love you, whose God is the Lord. Father, I call unto you to reach into our schools. Lord God, that our children may be protected, that their eyes may be geared toward your ways, and that the instructors, the people who are leading them, who are instructing them, will instruct them your way. That they may see the importance of what God means in our schools. What God means in our cities, in our states. Father, I pray that your hand be stretched out all throughout the United States of America. That your peace rest upon your people. That your truth reign in the hearts of everyone. That families will gather together at their table to pray and say, God, you are the God of this nation. We need you more than ever before. That, Lord, even as we are drawing closer to the end times, that we may pray together another moment of revival. Lord, we need revival in this land. We need revival in our families. We need revival, Lord God. Cause us to turn our eyes to you, to call unto you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. I know you hear us because you said so in your word. We trust you to take over. We trust you to be the God over this nation. We trust you to bless this nation. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Why don't you sit right up front? I'm going to have you come back up here a minute. Okay. She's wondering why. Yeah, I'm not gonna keep you much longer, but I do have a few scriptures that I'd like to read, and I'd like for us to just begin to stand on and believe upon with all of our heart before the Lord. And thank you, everybody, the way that you have blessed us in your readings and such and sharing. I'd like for you to turn to, if you would, to 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm just going to read a few scriptures and just speak a few things. I'm a proud American. I'm a proud citizen. I'm a patriot. You know, when you grow up as a kid, it means more to me today than what it used to. You know, when I was a kid, I probably didn't even know what 4th of July was. You know, I just knew it was a day that we could go swimming or we could have a picnic or we could do that. We need to educate our children. We truly need to educate our children. We need to educate others in America. You know, we need to spread the word of our liberty and the word of our freedom and our patriotism. And I believe in that with all of my heart. You know, what nation has God raised up like America? What nation has been raised up like America? And it's in the hands of the church that determine the direction that we go in. And I pray that we all take on that burden that is in our hands. It's the church that will determine what direction that we will go in the future as America. You know, we've come to the day, you know, where now a lot of people do not even understand America's stand with Israel, which is biblically based. And this is why we stand and why we're such strong supporters of Israel. We're such strong supporters because we understand Scripture. We understand the tie of Christianity to Israel. And yet we grow up in generations that do not understand that. And so they see that Israel is the aggressor here. And they're the oppressor here because they don't know Scripture. They don't know history because we've taken history out of the schools as such. And there's a plot and a plan with all of that. We got to get into the fight. I'm talking about us, the church. You know, we need to fight for our nation. We really do. You know, for it to be able to fulfill the complete plan that God has determined for our land. I mean, what nation is there on the face of the earth in which has spread the gospel more than that's come out of America? All of the lands, all of the missionaries that have spread throughout the world. Yes, there's been other missionary nations. Look at England. What a missionary nation they were at one point in time. Some of my favorite writers of old were English, but look at the state that they're in today. Look at the ruin of the church. The ruin of the church came first, and then came the downfall of the nation. We're right in line to go the same direction as they have gone. Not only them, but look at Europe. Look at Europe. Look at Martin Luther. Look at the Reformation. Look at Germany. Look at others, so many that you could go through, and look what Europe has become today. And we can look at all of this and see the path of where things are going if we're not careful. But we must be a praying people. We must be a believing people. We must stand up, and we must preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart. You know, we must be about the Father's business, because we belong to Him. Let me read this and I'll speak a little more. You know it well. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men." So you can see right here very clearly, you know, that God has called His church to be a praying church. You know, without prayer, there can never be any power. Without prayer, there can never be any power. I, as an individual, will not know the power of God without prayer. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our church as well, locally, will not know the power of God without prayer. We think that God's going to do these things because we go to church for a little bit of time on a Sunday morning, and then we go about our business. We must be a dedicated people for the purpose in which we've been called, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And where the true power of God comes is when people begin to pray. As we find this invitation here in the word of the Lord, he's talking of favorable outcomes coming by the hand of God because of the people pray according to these things that he's giving here in this verse 1. He goes on in verse 2, it's for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may, look at this, may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. You know, so this is the generalized calling of God, you know, of walking with the Lord. That he said, this is the way to be pleasing unto God. This is how that you will become my servant and how you will serve me well is by you walking down this pathway that I've called right here. And I will bless you. And not only that, but he insinuates very clearly, I'll bless your land. I'll bless your land. You know, and so this is how we find the great blessings of the Lord. We must get into the fight as Christians. We must get into the fight as believers. We must not shrug our shoulders and live a self-centered life. To really what life is about me, you know, and how I live and about what I want to do. Well, we're servants of God if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and that you are no longer your own. And that's what Scripture says. I'm no longer my own. First of all, it's a lie to believe that you're free. Men think that they're free, you know, because they're in rebellion, and they call it freedom. That's the perversion. They're in rebellion, but they call rebellion freedom, and it's not freedom at all. And you have a master over your life according to Scripture. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of darkness. Either Jesus is the Lord of your life or the evil one is the Lord of your life. You can say, well, I don't believe in a devil. It don't really much matter. He's still in control of your life because this is the truth of Scripture. You're either living for Jesus, and if you live for self, then you're living for the evil one. If you live for self, you're living for the evil one. This is very clear in Scripture. We either live for Jesus or we live for ourselves. You don't have to be a devil worshiper. You don't have to be a devil worshiper whatsoever, but he's master over your life. And he brings lives in ruin because people do not surrender to the true lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, we want to serve the Lord and then we want to go on and be with the Lord, and he will give us wonderful blessings in this life. Our lives are not about living this life. Our lives are about living for eternity. You know, we are living toward eternity. This life is very short. This is a very short time, and I want to be the servant of the Lord, and I want to do the will of God because I want to hear him say on that day, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into that which I've prepared for you. And I believe that the Lord has special things that are prepared for each one of us as we have served him. You know, God is not a God of numbers, right? You know, not a social security number. The government doesn't know who you are, but they certainly know your social security number, right? You know, and that's the way of the world, that there is not an individuality or a real intimacy of knowing, but it is with our God. He knows you. He knows me. He knows his plan. He knows his will. And he also knows his rewards that he has in store. It's not a generic reward. Well, here Ron's going to have his reward. Here's Beatrice, she's going to have her reward. No, it's a very unique rewards that God has in store for the righteous. Because we've served him with our whole heart. Well, somebody can say, and I'm dating myself here a little bit, you know. But anyway, somebody say, well, you know, I'm not a Billy Graham, you know. I'm not a Billy Graham, you know. And so that's got nothing to do with it whatsoever. Your reward is just as great as Billy Graham's reward. Because it has anything to do with how you are great in the eyes of the world. What it has to do with is that you served God fully. You served God fully with where he had you. What he called you to do. What he letting him be the Lord over your life. And that you served him fully in that realm of your life. And you glorified his name. Then you will receive the fullness of reward. Because that's what God wanted from you. Oh, it's really quite amazing and really quite glorious. So we want to be that faithful people of Almighty God. And then just simply in going on a little bit here, verse 4 says, who desires, that's the Lord, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, and then it goes on. So we pray that way. God is saying, I'll save. I will move. Will you pray? I'll save. I will move. Will you pray? That's what he's saying. Look at that promise. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now look at this verse 6. Isn't this incredible? Who gave himself as a ransom, look at this, for all. The testimony bore at the proper time. The evil one, this deserves another message, and I will get into it, which is part of spiritual warfare. But you know, God's wanting the people to stand in the gap and to claim the souls of the lost. Those that are dying and lost in the world, that all around us, that God wants us to stand in the gap. He wants us to be a people who will call them in. He knows it's not just witnessing. That's part of it. But it all has to do with spiritual warfare. It has to do with the Spirit of God opening hearts, opening minds, opening eyes, and the Holy Spirit calling them into the kingdom of God. Because I can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. I can't convince anybody. It's not being a person who's got a good argument. It's not being a person that's got a good argument. You know, that's not a soul winner. A soul winner is not a person that's got a good argument. You know, that he's a good soul winner. Well, he'd be good selling used cars as well, right? You know, that's what we kind of think about that. You know, no, not whatsoever. It's the Spirit of God that opens hearts. And it's the prayers of the saints that causes God to move upon the hearts of men. And he begins to change hearts and he begins to change minds. This is the mission of the church. And this is why the evil one seeks to distract the church so much, that Christians are so busy living their lives and doing so many other things other than being about the business of the Father. You know, you live in the realm that God's called you, and you be the full servant of Almighty God in the realm where God has you. And you serve Him fully, and you belong to Him, and you be listening for Him, and you look to Him, and you look for Him, and let Him use you where you're at. You're not waiting for God to get you to another place to be used. He wants to use you now, right where you are, right now. And it's amazing the power of God that is released in our weaknesses. You know, well, I don't have the story down good. I don't know Scripture very well. You know, I'm not really much of a talker, you know, that type of thing. But I'll tell you, it's in that vulnerability, you know, and that willingness where the Spirit of God begins to move in power in the utmost weakness and opens up the hearts and the minds of men. And something glorious happens. People are saved. So we want to be that people. We want to walk in this. We want to walk in the Word. And we want it to be what God's called us to be. We must stand in the gap for America because there are many forces that want to destroy her. There are many forces that want to destroy America. What country has stood with Israel more than America? You know, what country? Don't tell me that God hasn't used America, right? And then again, I mentioned, look at the missionary works around the world. What nation has spread the gospel like America has? There is no other nation that can be compared. There's no other nation. Oh, yes, we got a lot of wrong. We got things that are wrong. We got people trying to destroy our nation. We've got abortion, and that's a great shame on our nation and other things that we could mention. I know, we're not perfect. We're far from being a perfect nation, far from it. That's why we have to be in the fight. That's why we got to be in the fight, because we cannot just go about our merry way and let this nation be taken over by the forces of evil, because as the forces of evil take over this nation, so goes the world. So goes the world, okay? And so we need to understand this. We need to understand this. And it's very important that we understand it's not up to somebody else. It's up to you. It's up to me, you know, because we make ourselves available to the Lord. Don't underestimate the authority that you have as a believer. I'm telling you right now, do not underestimate the authority in the realm of the Spirit that you in Jesus have. The old evil one wants you to underestimate it, you know, so that you will not really see its great value or enter into it. Demons tremble at knowing who you are. Demons tremble at knowing who you are. The devil just wants to work in such a way that you don't ever discover who you are. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for our land. I'm going to pray that for our church, for the church. Let's ask for God to revive the church so that the church can be at the forefront of the direction that this nation goes, right? You know, and that's what we need to understand. It is the church's responsibility to be a light in the land, to be a light in the land. And then that's what calls our nation to be on course and to go in the right direction versus the fact that we can be destroyed if the evil one has his way. Beatrice, would you come up here? Okay, let's all just stand a minute, if we would. Let's just all stand a minute. We'll have this prayer, okay? We're going to pray for the church, all right? I'm going to pray a minute, then I want you to pray a minute, okay? All right, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, Lord God, Lord, we're coming together before you as a church body. Oh, Lord God, we just want to tell you that we're so grateful, Father God. Lord, we're so grateful for this land, and we thank you, Lord God, for all the liberty and all of the freedoms that you've brought to us, oh, Lord God, because we know that all of our liberty and all of our freedom as a nation, oh, Lord God, really is a reflection of the freedom and the liberty, Lord God, that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we just want to pray right now that you would raise up your church in a mighty way. We want to pray that, Father God, that you have your way with this land. We want to pray, Father, that you'd revive the church. Oh, Lord God, we lift that up to you right now. We pray with all of our heart. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord, send the reviving fires of Almighty God, Lord, to this land, and Lord, revive your church, Father God. Oh, let the burning fire of Almighty God fill the hearts of the people of the Lord. Father God, may you touch every church, oh Lord God, in our city. Oh, Lord God, Lord, may you touch us, oh Lord God, as a church. Father God, may you touch all of your people, oh Lord God, in this city. Lord, we pray, oh Lord God, for this city, that the revival fires of Almighty God would come. We pray, Father, for this city, that, oh Lord God, for a great mighty harvest into the mighty kingdom of Almighty God. Oh Lord God, we pray that, Lord, that you'd move throughout this nation, that you'd move, oh Lord God, and set fires, O Lord God, forth in a mighty way. Come, O Lord God, and set the church on fire for your glory and for your kingdom, O Lord God. Lord, save your people. O Lord, save your church. Come and save the church in America. Let us be the guiding light that, Lord God, that our land needs, O Lord God. Father, that our communities need. That, Father God, that, oh Lord, our cities need, yes. That, oh Lord God, that our families need. And we lift that before you right now. Oh Lord God, Father, start with me. Start with us. Let that be the prayer of our heart. Oh Lord God, Lord, that we're not just praying for others. Oh Lord God, we lift up ourselves and we say, oh Lord, before you. And we say, oh Lord, start with me. Start with me, oh Lord God. Let the fire of the living God, fill my heart, oh Lord God. Oh, may my life burn for the glory of the Lord. Let it honor you. Let it magnify you. Let it glorify you, oh Lord God. Oh Lord, we're calling on the mighty name of the Lord. We ask for forgiveness of our sins as a nation. We lay it at your feet in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we humble ourselves before your presence right now, and we ask for forgiveness, Father. Lord, forgive us for our wickedness. Forgive us for our evil. Forgive us of our arrogance. Forgive us of our pride, oh, Lord God. I even pray that, Lord God, our national pride, Father God, without God is arrogance. And, Lord, we just ask for forgiveness, Father, because of anything that we have in our nation has all been because of you. Let us glorify Jesus first and above all else, oh Lord God. And let us be thankful for the land that, Lord, that you have given us. And may you be magnified in this land. May you be magnified in this land as we give you the praise and give you all glory and honor.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, and I speak to...
It's on.
Yes, I speak...
There it is.
In the name of Jesus... Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we bless you. We give you praise. We worship you. Yes, I speak. speak right now to the church as a whole. I declare right now, arise. Arise in the church of America. Arise, the church of God in America. Awake. Awaken. Let your spirits arise right now. I speak this and let it flow through the whole nation, Lord God. We speak this. We thank you, Lord God. Let the church take her place to proclaim, to declare, and decree what should be, because that is our position. Father, you have given us that authority. And we stand beginning from here today. Let this be a day, a pivotal day for change in this nation. Let your church arise. Let your church arise worldwide. Let them stand in and declare what should be. Father, I thank you that you hear us. We are your people. We are your children. We are agreeing here today that let transformation start in the lives of your people. Beginning with me, beginning with us, beginning with the nation as a whole. Thank you, Lord, for releasing your revival fire. Let it catch on everywhere. Let revival fire catch on. Father, we thank you.
Amen.
We glorify your name. You are so good to us. You are so good to your people. You are so good to this nation. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Give us yet another chance. Give us another year, as was said in the song we sang earlier on. Give us another day. Give us another year that we may reach out many souls that are perishing out there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Kathy, why don't you all come, okay? And remain standing if you would.